The final Sunday in the liturgical year is always kept as the solemnity of our Lord Jesus Christ, King of the universe. But to grasp the full significance of this exalted title, we must look not back, not forwards to the end of days, but backwards to the beginning of all things. In the beginning. The book of Genesis is the story of the origin of all things, and it begins the tale of creation, well, at the beginning. In the beginning, God. Before all else, before anything else, God is. He exists. He is the uncreated and eternal one, who in himself lacks nothing, and who even before the creation of the cosmos is not alone, because he is a communion of divine persons, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. But from the superabundance of his love, God freely chose to create the universe and then fill it with his glory and crown his creation with the human race, with persons created by him in his image and likeness, persons who are endowed with reason and love, with the capacity to know and to choose. And so Genesis tells us that in the beginning, God created. How did the one only living and true God accomplish this act of creation? Again, Genesis tells us, and God said, the eternal and holy one spoke. And from the word spoken, the cosmos sprang forth from nothing into the glorious majesty of being, beginning with the radiance of created luminescence. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. But this created light, the light of the stars, as St. John the Evangelist explains in the prologue of his gospel, is but a reflection of the glory of the uncreated light, who is the Father's eternal word. In the beginning was the Word, John writes, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was in the beginning with God. All things were made through him. In him was life, and the life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. Here, St. John is teaching us that the eternal and omnipotent Word, by whom, through whom, and for whom all things were made, was not content to leave humanity in the grip of darkness, the darkness of sin and death, which man himself enshrined in his heart at the dawn of our race in the fall from grace. No, as St. John has it, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we have seen his glory, glory as of the only Son from the Father, full of grace and truth. Of this miraculous rescue of man from the slavery of sin and death, St. Paul explained to the Galatians that when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth his Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. That redemption, of course, was accomplished by the Paschal mystery, the suffering, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, who broke the bonds of death and revealed the promise of everlasting life for those who become the adopted children of God by grace through faith in the only Savior of all mankind, the Lord Jesus Christ. And today, on the last Sunday of the old year of grace, the Church rejoices in the glory of the resurrected and ascended Christ, the Son of Mary, who is also God the Son, the sovereign Lord of all creation, and yes, King of the universe. St. Paul explained this mystery to the Colossians when he wrote that God has delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of our sins. Paul continues by teaching that Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. And he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. For in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. This glorious vision of what we might call the cosmic Christ explains that the eternal and omnipotent Word who became man for our salvation is the one who sustains the entire universe in being at all times. All things hold together in him. We, of course, are here today because we know that Christ is preeminent in all creation, but the crucial question is this: is Christ Jesus before all things, not only in the cosmos, but in our lives? Is he before all things in our beliefs, our choices, our allegiances, our relationships, and our actions? Is Christ before all things in the marketplace and the polling place, in the bedroom and the boardroom, at home and at work, among our family and friends, in our hearts and in our minds? For Christ Jesus to be before all else in our lives is essential for our eternal happiness, because he can suffer no sovereignty, authority, or power to rival his own dominion, and that includes our rebellious wills. But this is where we come up against the mystery of lawlessness in our hearts, the constant temptation to place ourselves first, even in those of us who believe that Christ must be preeminent. We are drawn to prefer our own wisdom, our own desires, our own experience, and our own judgments to the truth of the gospel and to the obedience of faith, which is the only path to the kingdom of Christ, crucified and risen. And because we so often surrender to that mystery of lawlessness, the sovereignty of Christ is a disputed sovereignty. But God be praised, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords never abandons us to our rebellion. Instead, when we are lost in the darkness of our sins, the Lord searches for us as a good shepherd seeks the lost sheep. Through the prophet Ezekiel, the Lord speaks to us a word of encouragement. As a shepherd tends his flock, when he finds himself among his scattered sheep, so I will tend my sheep. I will rescue them from every place where they were scattered when it was cloudy and dark. I myself will pasture my sheep. I myself will give them rest. The lost I will seek out. The strayed I will bring back. The injured I will bind up. The sick I will heal. But in this beautiful word of consolation, there is also a word of admonition. The lost sheep are always welcome to return to the flock, but never the goats. As Christ himself reveals in Matthew's gospel, the sheep and the goats will be separated on the day of the Lord when the Son of Man comes in glory, and only the sheep, only those who have done the will of God, will be among the righteous who are welcomed to eternal life. And who are those who do the will of God? Who are the sheep? those who feed the hungry, give drink to the thirsty, clothe the naked, welcome the alien, give shelter to the homeless, and visit the sick and imprisoned. Those also do the will of God who teach the ignorant, counsel the doubtful, admonish sinners, comfort the afflicted, forgive injuries, and pray for the living and the dead. Those do the will of God, in other words, who live the law of love. In the eternal kingdom of God, to serve is to reign. And in learning to serve others, we acquire by grace, through faith, hope, and love, the habits of citizens of the universal kingdom of justice, love, and peace. My friends, if we believe that Jesus of Nazareth is the Shepherd King of all creation, and that only in Christ can we be brought to eternal life, then every day we must live his law of love and learn to see the face of God in all others, particularly those in need. And that is how we fulfill the grace for which we prayed in the collect at the beginning of this Mass. Almighty ever-living God, whose will is to restore all things in your beloved Son, the King of the universe, grant, we pray, that the whole creation, set free from slavery, may render your majesty service and ceaselessly proclaim your praise. Praised be Jesus Christ, now and forever.